We just had a wonderful lunch. And before the lunch, and I participated in one of the sessions, one of the group number one. And it was very active. You know, I hope the report back by the chairmen of those the groups will active all of the nerves of the all of you. So the first group, we decided each group got 10 minutes report back, and the chairs can decide how many minutes locate on the first or second questions. And then after all of them reported back, and Yale and Hugh will respond to them. So first, Kim.
Thank you very much. So the group that I chaired needed to have a look at the different areas that the ISB is involved in, be that research, standards level development, the maintenance and implementation, as well as the conceptual framework and the disclosure project. And our group was asked to consider what factors the ISB should take into account in deciding how to allocate resources to those various areas, and to also consider which areas should be prioritized. In the agenda consultation in paragraph 55, there are some factors which were set out, so we used those as a basis. Effectively, they focus on looking at the importance, the urgency of the issues, how it interacts with other projects. Is it likely that the ISB is going to come up with a solution in a reasonable period of time, etc.? There was agreement with those factors. However, a fair bit of time was spent on the first factor, and that was looking at the importance of the item, because it's phrased as the importance of the item to those who use financial statements. So there was some concern whether or not the focus was only on users of financial statements, or whether or not it was just in the phraseology, and that it wasn't meant to be restrictive just to users, but would also include preparers and others. And there was also some debates around the use of the word importance, and it's interesting how, you know, people interpret the same words differently. And people were saying maybe we should rather be looking at the significance of the items. However, I think the view was that all of those factors need to be considered together. There were some discussions around giving different weightings to different factors. Maybe if different factors had different weightings, a different conclusion might arise. And then there was some time spent on whether or not the concept of convergence should be added as an additional factor. Out of our group, we actually had a show of hands, and there was a minority view that felt that convergence... No, it was actually more than just Paul. he did have a little bit of support. That convergence be added. Even out of the minority, I guess some people felt that, yes, it perhaps is important, but it wouldn't mean that projects should be added in those areas just for the sake of convergence. It was more along the lines of if there was a particular solution out there and convergence could be achieved, then it should be taken into account, but that it wouldn't be a primary factor. Also, what suggested is that progression needs to be made, and for that reason there was a view that significant projects should be completed. So looking at the conceptual framework, the disclosure initiative, as well as, you know, large standards. So at the moment, there would be the leases project, insurance contracts. So the real significant projects, you know, need to be completed. And I think the view there is to say that once once you're in the standards level program, emphasis should be on completing those projects and not spending too much time then elsewhere, which results in these projects being delayed. So effectively prioritizing those aspects perhaps in favor, if you like, of the maintenance and implementation. There were some views to say that perhaps sometimes maintenance and implementation, while in an absolute sense could be seen to be important and needed, perhaps in the greater scheme of things, they could be a little bit distracting, and that we need to remember that the standard should be principles-based, and therefore, yes, you know, while certain aspects of standards could be improved, etc., maybe having that continuous sort of improvement and maintenance could be distracting. So I think for that reason, the view was to say that, yes, it's important, but they other areas should be prioritized. Also, another point that was made is looking at education, and that particularly came from the emerging markets, emerging economies, to say that, you know, once new standards are issued, they need time in, you know, to get to grips with the new standards, need you know, education, so that needs to be factored in. Also, just to add to the list of factors to consider in terms of how the board allocates their resources, there was a point to say that it needs to be emphasized that the standards need to be principles-based. And that was in the context of saying that, you know, and maybe it's more in the maintenance and the implementation, that yes, maybe there is some divergency or something, but, you know, should those be prioritized over completing other projects on the basis that the standards should be principles-based, and therefore preparers and users need to be applying their judgment so as to reduce perhaps the number of interpretations and adjustments to the standards. So that was effectively the discussion that our group had on the allocation of resources across those areas. Then, in terms, are we doing the review as well? Yes. Okay. So then, in terms of the trustees' review, our team was asked the question around whether or not the ISB should extend their remit and develop standards for the not-for-profit sector, and that was interesting. We did have a lively debate around that. I must say, when it came to the vote at the end, we actually had a minority view in favour of the ISB extending their remit. Possibly more would have been supportive if it weren't for a resource concern. So I think that in the greater scheme of things, you know, even going back to the first question on the agenda consultation, where there's already competition for various projects and various aspects, The feeling was to now add perhaps the not-for-profit sector to the ISB's agenda as well, could therefore again divert resources away from IFRS projects, which are felt are important. There were also some views to say, well, maybe it should just be a national jurisdictional problem to solve. However, I think, again, coming from many of the emerging economies, the views were to say, well, it would really make a lot of sense if this was coordinated internationally. And so the question that somebody raised was to say, well, if it's not the ISB, who is going to do it? So possibly something to consider, but I guess a concern around the resources. And, you know, the views were to say that the not-for-profit sector maybe in some instances are not too different, and maybe it is just in some areas, for example, non-exchange transactions, and maybe that would actually also be relevant in the in the private sector as well, where they could also enter into non-exchange transactions. And the example given was levies and perhaps income taxes as well. So there was a feeling that there could be a little bit of an overlap. So on the one hand, maybe it's a case of developing a whole set of standards. In other areas, maybe it doesn't need to be so different. But possibly it's not something that the board should be considering at this stage. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Use less than 10 minutes. The one point I want to add, that is, you know, the requests, mainly from developed nations, about more guidance. It seems not so clear-cut between the implementation efforts led by Michael, and pure educational efforts led by another Michael. So there will be vague areas, I noticed. Andrea.
Okay. Thanks, Weigu. I kick off with the effectiveness review, which we spent about 15 minutes on. We thought that this would not really be a contentious issue. The question was, number two, do you agree with the proposal that the ISB should play an active role in developments in wider reporting through cooperation with other bodies such as the IIC? The first question that came up was, what does active mean? And the second question was, what does role mean? So I think, in essence, the answer was a conditional yes. You should continue to play an active role, and really redefined your activity, and that does not mean attending the meetings, but potentially setting staff aside to look into the issues. That does not mean a full-fledged project dealing with sustainability, diversity, what have you, but probably starting in two aspects. One, on the borderline between financial statements and management commentary, that has been an issue before, and the other one in issues around disclosure. Because some of the information needs that have been promulgated by these other bodies are things that you might consider, should they go into the notes, should they go into management commentary, where should they go? Should they go in a separate report? Then it's probably not your remit, but I think there are borderline issues, and these things came out quite clearly. I coined the topic, bite before you are bitten. So watch the space, yes, but don't wait too long before others are actually taking your butter from the bread. Yeah, and there was one comment made as part of the agenda consultation, which I would just relay into this one, saying some hold the view that actually the ISB is already being bitten in the sense that regulators every now and again step into the field of the domain of the accounting standard setter. That is, by interpreting, by putting on extra requirements that some constituencies feel is really not their remit, and they should stay out. So this is probably something that could be relayed in here, but there was no minority view. I think that was a consensus position. If I then go to the agenda consultation, I'm happy to report that there was no consensus whatsoever. We had a lot of fun because we first started off and saying we want all the participants saying whether on each on the research projects they give it a high, medium, or low rating. Then we had a discussion, and then we repeated that voting. We didn't quite repeat it because we were running out of time, so I asked everyone to list his three favourite subjects. And quite extraordinarily, the second voting didn't match the first voting. So a few points to consider, and I think I did it on purpose because we did the same thing in our German IFRS committee, and when we had the discussion afterwards, the first thing was what I would call tummy voting. Yeah, how do you feel about this? Should this be high on the list, yes or no? As then the discussion progressed, I think some factors were being put into place. So for instance, if the ISB said, could you give a particular project a high rating? The question is, what do we mean by high? Does it mean it's interesting? Does it mean it's conceptually challenging, it's flawed, and therefore requires fixing? Or does it mean it is urgent because somebody has a pressing need that something needs to be done? And I think if you go just along these dimensions through the list, I think your answers would be different in each and every case, which was quite interesting. Then we discussed other dimensions that probably do have an impact, such as timing. So some of the projects that are there, and I start off with the first one, definition of a business, is probably something that could be resolved quite quickly. If I look into another short runner, that could be dynamic risk management. Yeah, that sounds like a logical candidate of a week-long project. So I'd probably think that timing is an issue. How many resources do you want to spend on before you get to the first point, to the first crossroads, in deciding, do we stop it here, do we publish a request for views or discussion papers, do we take it on, et cetera, et cetera. A further dimension that was added is industries. So when we did the voting, I think Peter said he was quite astonished that dynamic risk management didn't get a higher voting. And I think it probably depends on the audience. If you had a room full of bankers, they would probably say, well, is there anything that's more urgent than that? Yeah. If you just had ordinary standard setters, they'd probably say, well, I couldn't care less. In terms of some of the projects, and that's the last dimension that I would add, is we asked, is this really a solvable accounting issue? Because on some of the topics, it seemed, yes, there is an issue that does have accounting implications. But the question is the root cause a problem that lies in accounting? And the number one project that falls into that category is income taxes. It may well be that some believe that the entire standard is conceptually flawed and should be rebuilt. But I would promise you that even if you went with an entirely new approach, there would still be issues. And the reason is the tax systems worldwide are not being harmonized. So there may well be some jurisdictions that do have an issue with the application of the standard and then say that if I apply this in my circumstance, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And there's nothing that the ISB could do without. So another issue might be discount rates. And I cited a meeting that we had on EFREC just recently where we looked into the low interest environment. Is there anything that an accounting standard setter could do with that? Well, if a central banker decides that they flood the markets with cheap money, then they probably do have an impact on how interest rates build. The question is, does that mean that the entire finance literature needs to be rewritten and that the time value of money concept doesn't have any prevalence anymore? So the question is it really an accounting issue or is it an issue with accounting consequences? That's about it. So I can now read the list, the top three projects. The winner is the Disclosure Initiative. Principles of Disclosure got the highest hits. Second one was financial instruments with characteristics of equity. And although I asked to be given 10 votes, we didn't need them. And the runner-up, then, with a strong way behind, were on equal ranking, post-employment benefits, primary financial statements, and dynamic risk management. So these were the top hits. That's about it.
Thank you very much. It looks like a philosophical education from beginning. Yeah. Clement.
Thank you. Our group has been asked to look at the question C, which is whether the IASB and the Interpretation Committee is working well, interacting with each other in supporting the IASB and IFRS to meet the stakeholders' needs, and is that support sufficient? I think that really start off the committee in a very lively mood. And a lot of comments made about the Interpretation Committee. I think, in all fairness to start with, we all agree that the Interpretation Committee could be a very powerful platform, given that our IFRS are principle-based. But while it can respond quickly, if it can respond quickly, and if it can be utilized properly. But in practice, there are comments and concerns raised about the functioning of the IC. Firstly, is there's no clear guidance and guidelines on when the IC make decision to issue agenda decision, interpretation, or pass it back to IASB for further process, ending up in amendment projects or improvement projects and whatnot. I think the line of decision, the basis of decision are not very clearly disseminated to the outside. Secondly, I think the agenda decision again, I think there's comment about whether the interpretation committee could have the discretion to not to address submissions, and if we are giving that that discretion to the interpretation committee, then there's also a lot of questions about whether that discretion how that discretion could be exercised in a reasonable way. And also, another question comes up is whether the interpretation committee, the composition of the interpretation committee, got the right balance of people in terms of the experience, the industry expertise, and whatnot. And lastly, I think there's also a question on the communication between the interpretation committee and the board, and it will be good to let the board to have more sort of input at the initial stage of whether how those items could be handled. I think that communication and that link is very important as well. And lastly, it's about the results in recent years. I think there is a feel that too many piecemeal amendments actually come up from that process. And there's sort of suggestion that whether the number of narrow scope amendment projects could be reduced and be replaced by a more sort of comprehensive review on a more holistic approach. I think that are the comments raised about the interpretation committee. Then on the support activities, I think the general comment is actually around the people the people around the table in our discussion group. Not many people knew exactly two of the four named supporting activities, namely the endorsement and adoption support and the IFRS translation process. Actually, for that matter, we at the end, we need to get the assistance from the tech team to explain to us what that process is. I think by that action, it actually tells how much people know about those supporting activities. And obviously, there's room for improvement in communicating that assistance tool to the IFR as well. And then on actually, there's also one member jurisdiction raise an interesting point, and that is in their jurisdiction they have this. The jurisdictional requirement that if there is not a specific effective date mentioned, then automatically that standard will become effective immediately. I think things like that, the legal sort of issues and other non-technical issues, it will be good to have some sort of channel to hear all those concerns and comments from the constituents. So specifically on the education activities, I think there's also a comment like at the moment the education activities mentioned by the board or carried out by the board. The leverage could be better if we can leverage more on the modern technology to enhance the reach out. So that is a comment on the education process. And then on the TLG, actually on the implementation process, also comment about the TLG process. And that's mixed view about the effectiveness of the TLG based on the limited experience on the two standards 15 and improvement, and And at the end, I think it was kind of concluded after the debate that it could be a good tool for certain circumstances, particularly very complex standard, but it shouldn't be part of the standard process. So it could be made available to the board, but it shouldn't be, you know, part of the standard sort of procedures for every new standard. So that is about, you know, the responses to the question on in relation to the agenda consultation. Then go to the trustee question. The question that we were asked to look at is the taxonomy, whether we agree with the ISB approach on taxonomy, and whether there's any other concern, you know, about, you know, the regulatory side on the taxonomy at the jurisdiction level. I think we had a consensus that the direction for digitized information taxonomy definitely is the right way to go, but it shouldn't be stopped there. I think comment like further, you know, sort of developments such as data analytical capabilities and three-dimensional sort of use of the data, all this should be considered as a future sort of vision of how the financial information could be disseminated, could be used. So definitely we encourage the board to continue on that direction. But the threat of it is the protection of the transparency in financial reporting, which I think maybe is more of a problem for the regulators at the jurisdictional level. So that's it.
Okay, Satya.
So I'm reporting on behalf of Group D. Our group was asked to look at the level of change and at technology. We spent about roughly two-thirds to three-quarters of our time on the agenda consultation and a bit less, far less on the technology, and I'm not sure that we were that helpful to David's cry for help. So let's see. So starting with, and I also think that in our discussions we had quite some overlap actually with Group C, because what I heard is some of the things we discussed as well, but I think the questions are quite close. So I would like to start then with the agenda consultation, where the question was, does the ISB's work plan as a whole deliver change at the right pace and at a level of detail that is appropriate to principle-based standard setting? Before we entered into discussion, we had a tour around the table to find out from which countries the people were, how long they were on IFRS, and what was their national gap before, so to be able to assess a little bit where people were coming from, because we thought it would be relevant in our discussion to understand what people thought about the level of pace, the level of the standards. We started off with a quick vote on both of the questions. We split the question in two, so what people think in the group about deliver change at the right pace, and the second question was then, is the level of detail and the length of the standards and the principle-based standard appropriate? And in that quick vote, we got sort of an agreement. Largely, most of the people agreed that the pace of change was right, although they saw that there were slightly different truths for different standards, and overall they were also happy with the level of detail and the length of the standards. In the whole discussion, it came out that there were sort of two key words, and these words were the standards have to be clear and the standards have to be implementable. Well, that sounds perhaps easy, but in the discussion it also came out that people had a different understanding of what would be the meaning of those words, like my colleagues around the table here were reporting as well. The first thing we agreed about was all principles need to be clear, and there was common sense that everybody agreed with that. And then the examples of IFRS 2 and IS 28 were discussed, where say there's so many changes, questions, interpretations about it that shows actually that those standards are not clear, so there is something to be done. Then the discussion went further, and people said, Yeah, but that's not enough that the principles are clear. We need more at the level of detail. It needs to be clear as well, because otherwise we can't have consistency of implementations. That was not sort of shared by everybody, and how far everybody would want to go, that was quite different views were held in the group. We also entered a bit in discussion that in some countries, early application of standards were not allowed, and those countries also felt that we should go very much in detail so that everybody would implement it in the same way. Then we discussed, are there too many changes to the standards? Well, in principle, overall, we said it was okay, like I said, but there was an interesting remark about what would be the burdens for auditors of small companies. Because they said, well, if the level of change is so rapidly and smaller listed companies are not able to follow all this, then the auditors that implement the standards and that look at the implementation for them and advise them, they get the burden and the liability of the level of change. So in that respect, some of them felt that actually the level of change was too high. We had furthermore a discussion about the length of the standards. Although some felt that it was an issue, others had remarked that nowadays the length is as such not such an issue as long as the standard is clear and implementable, because with technology you have a different access to the standards and then the length becomes less an issue. Then we entered into a discussion on the process between an exposure draft and ending up in a final standard. There was some observation that this process is not so clear. There's the reporting and IFRS update, but that is at a relatively high level. So for some constituents, the final standard seems to come as a surprise. So it was felt that in that respect, the ISB could do more. But there was also the feeling that actually constituents are not sufficiently engaged in the whole process from the beginning till up till the standard. And one of the suggestions made was that the use of examples could help, because each time when examples are used, people see the impact at an early stage and understand why changes are important. The idea was not that the standards would be full of examples, but just at an early stage in the process to get people alerted to the changes. People felt that when you make it concrete in the form of examples, then actually people see what it means for them and could be more interested in the element. And then we sort of ended this theme with a discussion about what I put here as quality control. We ended up to consider fatal flaw reviews, and there we had quite a discussion, perhaps also with some misunderstandings of the principle of fatal flaw review, but the views were held that some said, well, listen, we should not broaden this fatal flaw review because it risks to become a new exposure draft stage and will lengthen the process further than it is already. Whereas others felt that, okay, perhaps it should not be public, but the people that are involved, and especially the standard setters that are involved through this IFAS SharePoint, if I have it correct, these comments should be shared between them. But that was then, again, this view not shared by everybody. So we had quite a bit of discussion about that. Then we moved to the technology discussion. There was a sort of agreement that people felt technology is basically implementation. It's a tool. It's a language. It should not drive the standard setting. It should help to improve the accessibility to the data, perhaps to the standard. But it's also a question what kind of information the users would like to have. We discussed whether it would be good for service providers, data aggregators, software companies further in the process. We also entered in a discussion, if you have more involvement in technology, is this question then actually also overlapping the question of scope? Would you not enter quickly also in the debate around alternative performance measures? And, there was some in the group felt that there's a need for a clear definition of things like EBITDA. Others had less strong feelings. We discussed this idea of a forum that is actually mentioned in the request for views. And there we thought that a forum of expert could be used in two ways. It could, on the one hand, and it's not necessarily the same group of people, but on the one hand, it could have the role to inform the ISB of what is actually going on in the technology area, and there too the forum should consist of a wide range of experts that have a say in this area, so that goes from data aggregators to software providers, but also Google experts, people that know how to go into information and can see what the importance of information is. But on the other hand, it could also be a forum run by the ISB to inform data aggregators, software companies about the standards and the impact of the standards, so that they have a proper understanding of the standards and that the resulting software and the data aggregation would be correct. And then we concluded in the end with that technology could also have a role, confirmatory role of the information, and that would also be then having an impact on the to demonstrate actually the quality of IFRS. That is what I noted down, so I hope that my group agrees, and otherwise they can come in. Thank you.
Finally, Philippe.
For the agenda consultation, question E was addressed to the group. Frequency of agenda consultation. Because of the time needed to complete individual major projects, the JASB proposes that a 5-year interval between agenda consultations is more appropriate than the 3-year interval currently required. Do you agree? If not 3 years, what interval would you suggest? It seemed to be a very simple question, and the answer could be yes, and that's it. However, it was not. To start, there was one comment that perhaps is not very important, but we were asking why December 31st? In most countries, if we do not respond before December 15, will be too late because Christmas will be in place. But anyway, we will do our best, and the response was at the beginning, 5 years term is perfect for many reasons. One is that the term for the members of the board. However, some opinions were in connection that this is a very fast-changing world, and perhaps 5 years it was too long. At the end, the conclusion in the general response is that 5 years is the best possibility, and however, the IASB should be monitoring the developments when urgent or critical aspects arise, and then they can update or modify the different tasks and the different projects in their program on a timely basis. That was the final conclusion. Regarding the request of the IFRS Foundation structure, Group E was asked to respond, what are your views on what the Foundation is doing to encourage the consistent application of IFRSs? And the responses were as follows. The first point is that the standards are clear, understandable, and enforceable. And the responses were various, but in fact, the general concept was that in some cases, paragraphs are complex, and an effort should be done to reduce complexity and to look for simplification. It was recommended that a different team than the one who prepares the standards review that without a specific purpose. We were explained, and we were very glad that we have a board member in the group, and also David from the IFRS, saying that this task is performed, that there is always an effort to reduce complexity and to make things simpler. Some comments were regarding that sometimes some paragraphs are not understandable, and sometimes you see paragraphs that are more than 15 lines long, and that is supposed to be very, very, very long, and an effort to reduce that could be interesting. It was a request for all of us that when we identified a specific paragraph that we do not understand and or we believe that should be simplified, that should be communicated to the YASB, and the person to address these comments is Michael Stewart. Also, some comments were related to translations. And of course, we were aware that sometimes if the translation is not accurate, perhaps the interpretation of one specific paragraph is not correct. Notwithstanding that, enhancing the translation process is recommended and is an effort that we, as standard setters, can participate in the different translation committees. The second point is if guidance is consistent with a principle-based approach to standard setting, the response is yes, the effort is done. However, we should be careful of not having guidance that it seems to be mandatory and authoritative because it may be interpreted as that's the only way to resolve a problem, and we should follow the concepts approach. Cooperation with security regulators, audit regulators, national accounting bodies, and national standard setters is important. The conclusion is that in some areas, this effort can be made on a regional basis, that is the case in Europe, but in some other regions, that is not very easy. The example of Latin America and Africa was very, very clear in this regard, that we have to go on a country-by-country basis, but that the commitment of the standard setters should be to establish relations with the regulators, with the audit regulators, with the national accounting bodies, that we are that, and national standard setters and preparers and all the groups that are interested in the financial standards. Regarding the work of the Interpretations Committee, it was considered that is appropriate and very responsive to all the requests we have received, and that we should use this channel to communicate our concerns, efforts, or recommendations. Regarding education activities in support of consistent application, some opinions were expressed that this is very positive and the support provided by the IFRS Foundation is very good. However, some other countries mentioned that they were not aware of what is the system for asking this kind of educational support, and the idea was to promote the use of these possibilities, of course, under the requirements established by the YASB and the IFRS Foundation. Finally, regarding post-implementation reviews, it was a comment regarding the term of the 2 years term after a new standard is in place and is mandatory, and some of the group mentioned that perhaps 2 years is too short. And moreover, considering that in some countries, after the two, the segments project and the business combinations project, were just after they adopted the IFRS to be mandatory. And finally, the second question is that considering the resources and other limitations, do you think that there is anything more than the foundation should be doing in this area, including the scope of enhancing cooperation with others? Yes, cooperation is important. There were no volunteers to say I take this project, but everybody agreed that this is important. And also enhancing the work of the education initiative in this area. We already discussed that because it's important to promote this possibility. One other question that is related to both projects is that why the due date for responding this IFRS Foundation request is November 30, and the agenda consultation is December 31st, considering that in many countries these are very interrelated and it could be wise to obtain responses from the different groups having to be involved on this at the same time. We were explained that, it was because the first project was ready before the agenda consultation. But anyway, it's something to be considered because having at the same time the due date for responses could be interesting. And finally, there was a comment that was not part of the questions, but we opened for the 7 questions on the agenda consultation. Any other projects you may recommend? One was perhaps the not-for-profit entities standards. We know that it's not part of the responsibilities of the YASB, but anyway, I have the obligation to mention that that was a comment in our group. Thank you.
So the 5 chairs, are so generous. We save 5 minutes. And may I suggest to ask Yale and Hugh to respond first. And if they're also very generous, we have a few minutes to give to the floor. Please.
I'll be brief. As you noticed, the common theme of many of the questions in the review is the limitation on resources. And actually, me and David, before we published it, we went through all the questions to see where we can add the phrase, considering the limitations, what are your views? Because obviously, anything you ask us to do, there's no free lunch. Anything that we're asked to do comes at the expense of something else. And as you know, we operate in a world of limitations, not a perfect world. Having said that, I heard some of the messages. It's not surprising to see that people have very different views on what should be the responsibility of the ISB. I do have a follow-up question, if I can, to Andreas, because on the very important question of the wider corporate reporting developments and what's the role of the foundation should be, and you said there was a unanimous decision. So first of all, I completely identify with your puzzlement over the words active and role, because that was a result of a very sensitive discussion between mainly, and if I could very simplify the discussion internally that we have at the foundation, I'll just present it in very simple terms and then ask what's behind your recommendation. Because, people come to this discussion, to the corporate reporting discussion, from very different perspectives. Some people see it as an ideology. Some people want to change the world with it. Some people want to do a lot of very good things in the world with corporate reporting that has nothing to do with financial reporting. And so what we were trying to ask people is basically whether we should take a leading role and overtake that field with our discipline and methodology, or we just stay aside, watch the developments and see whatever the impact on us and add that. And so you had a very clear, unanimous view. What's the view then? That was my only question to the panel, because all the rest were clear messages that I can easily digest and bring to the trustees table.
I'll just make 3 points. Number one, so Kim, you talked about this emphasis on completing projects, and we've talked earlier on in the day how long some of these projects have taken. I was just saying to Yale before we started, actually, I was looking at John F. Kennedy's speech, "We Shall Go to the Moon." That speech was in 1961, and in 1969, Neil Armstrong did walk on the moon. When you think about that timescale for such a complex undertaking, and then you think about it takes 18 years to do insurance contracts, you kind of think we must be missing a trick somewhere. My brother, who's in the army, he used to work for this general, and people would say, the general would say, "Well, I need this done in 3 weeks' time," and the guys would say, "This is not possible." And his answer was always this: 30 years ago, man walked on the moon. I think we can do this. And so I think we do need to find ways of getting our standards done faster. And we've got an ideal opportunity to talk about it on the Board Away Day coming up, and I think this is a good topic for us. So that's number one. Number two, this whole topic of implementation issues and consistent application. I must admit, listening to my group and listening to some of these comments, I have a strong sense that the lower hanging fruit, if you want to call it that, lies in more straightforward education about our standards, perhaps for countries which have lesser capacity. I think that is a big world that we are actually exploring through the educational initiative, and I think we need to carry that through very strongly, because frankly the number of, if you look at the population of people who need to know our standards to do their accounts, the number of, or the percentage of folks who really track our interpretations and understand is tiny. It's absolutely tiny. And so I think this broader educational effort is definitely something we need to dig in. We have 116 countries doing IFRS. It has to be our priority, and I do see a strong message there. And then the last thing, we touched on principles at different points, and someone at some point said principles need to be clear. Our standards are running now to over 4,000 pages, and we describe them as principles-based. And I have often wondered to myself, what are those principles? Where are they? Because they're not clearly written down. I mean, you find them in some places, you find a bit in the conceptual standard, but it would be quite nice, by standard, to know what the key principles actually are at that level of a standard. And I think that's something I would also like to discuss further internally.
So, Andrea, you might be already.
How many hours do I have? Okay. I think not the active role in overtaking the IARC, to put just one name behind it. Not passive in the sense of standing by the fence watching the game, because the ball might actually come towards you, and if you don't duck, I mean, you're hit. I think we weren't sure as to what active role really meant, and we sought some information by Mary, who was with us, and by Peter Clark. And they explained that basically currently there is no staff really assigned in the foundation for these individual projects, but it's basically the chairman who attend the meetings and form the link, and it's probably the senior staff that also does that one level below then. The question that we had is it enough to just monitor what's going on, because it's basically something I wouldn't call an active role, because you participate in the meeting, yes, but you're obviously not driving it. And I think there was a fear that you need to be careful that somebody does not take an initiative that has a back impact on financial reporting that you don't want. Because we were quite clear that you should be in the driver's seat for everything that is financial reporting. Now, the question is, where does that stop? And that then made the link between the notes, the management commentary, where obviously you're somewhat on the borderline as to, is this really our realm or is it somebody else's remit? And I think you should certainly defend your turf and probably help the other organizations in staying out of your garden, but yet bringing a positive development to their field. Now, it's difficult to say where that might be, because some of the organizations like the Climate Disclosure Board or Sustainability, they have just a limited focus. If you're looking at IARC with their six capitals, financial capital is just one cornerstone, and the question is, what would happen if the others had standard setters that were equally active as the ISB in their pond? So that was what drove our answer.
So can I suggest, the audience can raise questions, but be shorter. Anyone want, please.
Thank you very much. My name is Jim Obazi. I'm the CEO of Financial Reporting Council Nigeria. Now, permit me to request that the words of Peter Clark earlier, that the ISB is trying to explore ways to create stronger links with national standard setters, be taken very seriously. Because for getting these numbers here means that after a number of us have handed over our flags to the ISB that we are adopting IFRS, we expect that we'll be able to leave, whenever we come to you, leave with more answers to give to our jurisdictions. So you don't shut us out from questions. It should be more of our questions because we don't have opportunity to meet with you like this. More of our questions and more of the teachings. Now, I have a question here that the answer is rather loose to me. It's a question of whether the ISB intend to go into dealing with financial reporting for not-for-profit organizations. These are questions that are all over us in our jurisdiction. And for the UK Consultative Committee on Accountancy Body to have released the document, it's a signal to the ISB that there's something urgent that needs to be dealt with in this area. But what I get from the panel here is just the group that looked at it simply said, well, there are no resources but we will then start issuing local pronouncements, and that will defeat the entire purpose of single standards. Please kindly address that. Thank you.
If I understand correctly, this is a strong plea to take non-for-profit to the agenda, to the responsibility of the ISB, correct? I understood you correctly?
Yeah.
So the reason why we asked the question is because we hear those voices, obviously, and we hear them quite wide and clear from many parts of the world. However, And I understand the frustration of hearing, well, there's no resources, and it sounds dismissive. It's not really meant to be heard like that. It's a serious question, and it's a serious limitation. I think that it's obvious to me why some parts of the world really look for us as the direction for this to address it, and we will. We don't decide this. Our trustees will have to decide it, and I will definitely bring that message forward. I assure you, and you will receive a good answer.
Any other question? Oh, everybody is so generous. Can I ask a question to Clement? You know, I never heard. You know, you mentioned about the industrial background of our interpretation committee. You know, the interpretation committee members are from Big Four firms or from preparers and some analysts. So what you're talking about?
I guess the comments was made from the angle of whether the composition actually, was considered adequately from the angle of whether we have the right mix of people there in terms of experience, in terms of industry background. Yes, you can say that the present composition already sort of considered that, but in terms of some of the very highly challenged or asked sort of standards, if we could have some people with hand-on sort of experience on that, either as a permanent sort of member of the IC, or there are some channels through which the IC could draw expertise from the market for certain standards, something that could be considered.
Thank you. So I think I should conclude this session. Next session will be the educational sessions. We have organized the five standards, that is our four major projects, and also the last one is SME. So, and then there will be another round. Some of you applied to attend two. Maybe in the first session you were interested in the financial instruments, the next session on the revenue. And we will have dinner tonight from 7 o'clock. As I understand, we will serve drinks from 6:30. So please, come to join the dinner after the education session. So again, may I suggest, express sincere thanks to the presenters, and thank you.